I guess we should bring in the dog. So here we go.
It is time for Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Traditional small animal medicine and surgery, chiropractic, laser therapy, acupuncture, and Chinese herbal medicine. 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com. With us today, Dr. Carolyn Cannon, owner and chief veterinarian at the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Hello, Dr. Cannon.
Hello. Good morning.
That too. Any comments on climate change before we go to the dogs?
No.
That's good.
It's not a good thing.
Climate.
That's my comment.
That's a good, very good. Now, can we either do something about it or sit down?
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that it would be interesting if the candidates would, do a sort of a summation of what they're doing, what their ideas are different from each other.
Yeah,
that would be more to the point.
That would be a place at least to start where you're mm-hmm. separating it, you know, instead of just making this giant blob. But often, and people know that I have known you for some time, and often I am amazed at your capacity when you are managing your canine, feline, equine, you name it, cases, parakeetine, avian, that you have such clarity and patience, because we know that this is where you and I are just like, where one of us is obviously the better person. And I will go on to say, Isha in...
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Unless you're talking about you.
No, we know who this is. Everybody who just heard that knew what I was saying. All right, Isha in Poughkeepsie. My dog Buddy has an addiction to eating those wood chips used... My dog Buddy and Shark Goodman, the fifth, Shark Sank, has an addiction to eating those wood chips used in garden mulch. Is there anything I can put on the wood chips on our yard that won't poison him by mistake, but will get him to knock it the heck off? I can answer that. Isha in Poughkeepsie.
Well, if you can answer that, you should. Because,
okay. No.
I mean, if you've got a very small amount of wood chips somewhere in one garden, then you could try to set up the only thing to put on anything to keep your dog from eating it, and we know how that doesn't really work very well with dogs who eat poop, is something like bitter apple, which is non-toxic, but it doesn't always work. And, of course, you can't put bitter apple over all of the wood chips. So you'd have to set up a test sort of, and put a pile of wood chips somewhere and have them be soaked with bitter apple. But the key is to do that early on. So that hasn't happened yet. So it sounds to me like he's been eating the wood chips for a while. So really doing some training. You can use one of those bark collars. You can get a bark collar that makes an aversive sound when they bark, but you also can control it with a remote control. So if you've got a dog who really hates that sound, you've got to be out there with them. And every time they go to put their head down to pick up the wood chips, then you make the sound and see that they move away from it.
Or you can, I could just throw this in right now, you can run out the door like a demented Jack in the Box and say, "Shark, what are you doing?" At which point he'll look up and he'll go, "Bleh, bleh, spit, spit, spit."
Spit them out, and does that work for the long run?
Well, he likes it. There's nothing on them. It annoys me.
Oh.
I'm the one who's got the problem. So,
some of the wood chips are treated with all kinds of bad things.
Right. And obviously, P.S., if your garden is using those wood chips, wouldn't you be better off, wouldn't you be better off mulching them in or pulling them up and then putting down just proper untreated, just stuff that isn't going to go into your soil as well as your dog's mouth?
Right, so something that's safe, but something that also that they don't like. So, but you could also work with a trainer to keep them away from that area, or you can put up a little fence. You can put a little electric wire around. So, it's not a simple answer.
Right, and it's also not a gardening answer. It's not a gardening training and just general answer. So we're going to move on to John in New Britain. My 6-year-old cat Jasper is undergoing ongoing treatment for cancer. He seems to be responding well so far, but his appetite is definitely affected. It's a struggle to get him to eat regular food, but he will show some interest in people food, like Parmesan cheese, tuna, and macaroni and cheese out of my dinner bowl. What's more important, feeding him healthy cat food or just getting him to eat anything? Is there any way to stimulate his appetite?
Well, I hope that I wish you the best for his treatment. I think that's a wonderful thing that you're getting him treatment for his cancer. And I think that most oncologists would say that it's more important to get some calories into him while he's going through this treatment. There also there is a great appetite stimulant called mirtazapine, which comes now in a transdermal form, which means it's a kind of a paste that you can put on your gloved finger and apply to the bare skin on the inside of the ear pinna, the ear flap, and it will absorb. it will absorb that way, and it usually increased appetite. You can use the pill form as well. The pill doesn't tend to. With some cats, it makes them so frantically hungry that it's a little uncomfortable. The transdermal seems to work a bit better. The pill you have to give every 3 days, and so you get this sort of real increased hunger, and then it it trails off. Whereas the transdermal comes in a lower dose. You can apply every day, a little bit every day. So that's a great idea to try to get him to eat healthy things. A little bit of cheese, a little bit of, human food in general, as far as I'm concerned, is not unhealthy. If you can get him to eat meat, that's the best thing to do. So tuna, as long as he doesn't have any ongoing problems with urinary tract, fresh tuna, not from the can, salmon, ground beef, ground turkey, things like that. You can make your own pureed baby food with those meats. Would be a great idea. But he might eat and try all kinds of different cat foods too. But when you put the food down, put it down in a small amount. Think about someone with no appetite being presented with a huge amount of food. It just kind of decreases your appetite
instantly. And cats being cats, do cats eat liver? I mean, can you give them?
You can. You can give them liver. You don't want to go with a lot of liver. The liver concentrates toxins, unless you're using an organic liver. But even so, a very small amount each day, not enough to live on, or a bigger chunk once or twice a week is okay.
And would that be chicken liver? Or beef liver?
It's easier to get organic chicken livers, but you can use a grass-fed beef liver would be good, too.
All right.
And in my opinion, something lightly cooked so that it still runs blood.
All right. And what about cheese? What about cheese, dairy stuff for cats? And we know I've got a cantaloupe cat, but...
A little bit of cheese is okay.
But not too much.
You can't use it as a... Definitely Parmesan cheese to top dress something to get them to eat it. But you don't want to have them on a diet of cheese.
Or macaroni and cheese.
Or macaroni and cheese.
And what about cantaloupe or sweet potato or something like that?
Those are okay. Cats are obligate carnivores. And in Chinese medicine, when they are have cancer, number one, when they have cancer, you want to go with a super low carbohydrate diet. They don't metabolize carbohydrates well.
Okay.
And number two, they are, in Chinese medicine, blood deficient, and so they need to have kind of this real, their amino acids should come in the form of meat.
Gotcha. So what about then just a little pinch of ground beef, raw?
Yeah.
Can they have that?
Well, you'd have to ask your
vet.
Your vet, if they can have raw food. I tend to give debilitated animals not to give them raw food.
Okay, so then you lightly cook the, you make a little, you
can lightly cook it, yes. And then
and a little bit of
to make it easier to digest and to kill off most of the bacteria. And, of course, probiotics are a great idea, but you need to run all of this by your oncologist,
right.
Especially any kind of supplements that you're giving. You can be giving, there's some ideas about giving certain supplements that have antioxidant effect when you're trying to actually kill cancer cells is probably not a good idea.
Right. And what about tuna? It's in this person. It's in John's list.
Well, I think fresh tuna would be better than, you know, so a cooked fresh tuna rather than out of the can.
Right. But a small amount of cooked fresh tuna or a small amount of somebody recently termed beef jus, which is just a little bit of boiled beef and the water that you boil it in sort of mushed up.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be little good little appetite, just healthy encouragement.
Yes. As well as bone broth. You know, bone broth would be great as long as you can get them to eat it. So their tongues are a little bit dry, mouths are dry. So it may be maybe that they like to have that, and you want that really thick bone broth with all the gelatin in it, and heat it up and offer it in a little bowl would be fine, or add it to some food.
Sounds good to me. It's always, you know, it always wants a little bit of creativity when you are trying to.
That's definitely what they want, their own chef, yes.
Yes, it's exactly.
And a different meal each time.
Of course. Well, mm-hmm. if you're going to have your own chef.
And a cat who's not feeling great.
Is even more, right. Or treble. Maybe you need two chefs. Quick question. Is there the stimulant that you mentioned earlier? What's that?
So the drug is called mirtazapine, and there's a transdermal form that is, you don't have to get from a compounding pharmacy now. They just sell it to veterinarians, and it's called Mirataz.
Okay, and so you can ask your vet for Mirataz and possibly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. All right, Sarah in Winstead, I was weirded out to discover something that looked like and seemed like blackheads all over on my kitty's chin yesterday. Is this really a thing? What am I supposed to do about it, and how do I make it go away?
So there is a thing called feline acne, and it can be related to allergies. It was originally thought to be from the bacteria growing in the food bowl. So it's probably a good idea to keep your kitty's chin clean and the bowl clean. So run that bowl through the dishwasher every day or every couple of days. Switch out the little plate or bowl. If they're just a few blackheads, you don't really need to do much more than that. But acne sometimes progresses to pimple, like big red painful pimples underneath the chin, and sometimes the chin is just plain swollen and red. So keeping that clean, if you have a very red, swollen chin, you may need medication from your veterinarian. With the blackheads on the chin, really just keeping it clean, you can use a dilute betadine solution. And so dilute it in water and wipe the chin with that, as long as it doesn't have soap in it. If it's a betadine scrub, you can use that. You just need to make sure that you dry it well, which isn't so easy with cats. There are these wonderful wipes that we have called chlorhexidine wipes that you could also use to just, it comes, they're individual, in an individual package, and there I think are 30 of them or something. You take one wipe out and clean that chin once a day until you see an improvement. Once you get if there are enough there that you really even need to worry about it, then once you get it cleared up well, you could use an astringent like witch hazel and just put a little bit on a cotton ball and dab to prevent it from recurring.
Sounds. Do you use witch? I don't know. This is so old fashioned, but I just think witch hazel is magical, and maybe it's just the name. But is that as efficient as a an astringent? I mean, is that a good natural astringent?
I think it is. Yes, absolutely. It's fairly gentle. You don't want to use any astringent on a red,
yeah,
painful lesion. But so that's why I'm not really sure what this looks like. It seems like it's just the blackheads, in which case, you know, these things can be tried, and if you can't clear it up, then see the veterinarian so that they can potentially prescribe something if needed.
A little heavier duty.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Will and Samantha in Hudson. After our labs go for a swim in a pond, is it okay to let them be, or do we need to hose them down? My wife thinks they should be washed due to duckweed, etc., but I think she's worried about nothing, and I guess we have to talk about blue-green algae.
So, yeah, the blue-green algae situation is not, as far as I know, is not this far north.
Right.
But if you think about algae in general, then they, you know, if your dog's going to be licking off a lot of gunk from the pond, it depends on how much growth you're getting in that pond. If your dog's swimming in a pretty clean pond, probably nothing to worry about. Although you will find that they smell bad. So I always prefer to hose my dogs off after they're swimming in stagnant water.
Because once they dry, there's a definite
They'll smell like a stinky old pond. I think that I would err on the side of caution, especially now, and hose them off for sure. Actually, I would err on the side of caution and not have my dog swim in a really stagnant pond if it's been really hot out and there's a lot of growth in the pond. You know, we don't know with climate change at what point we're going to have blue-green algae, this particular blue-green algae this far north. And the pathology is pretty severe.
Right. And it works pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So it's just not something that it's just not something that you want to mess around with. So starting, you know, way back in the age of innocence, let's just say, you should hose them off just because otherwise they kind of reek. But now that there is something to be conscious of, and you've got no idea what's growing. If they're going to swim in a place, if they're going to swim in a pond. And you should know the difference between a lake and a. You should know the difference between a water source that is stagnant and not.
You can see the, you know, you can see the gunk growing on the top of the water.
Right.
This blue green algae itself, I believe, it's a toxin that is produced, and the toxin is toxic to kidneys and liver. And you know, your dog can die within hours.
It's,
so we haven't seen any. Somebody told me, I'd heard through the grapevine that there was some as far north as New Jersey. I don't think that that's true. I believe we're talking about the Carolinas and below.
That is what it seems like right now. There will always be someone who brings their dog from the Carolinas. Yes, let's just say on social media it will creep north, east, west, south, however, northwest, mm-hmm. faster than it might actually be doing. So the idea is just to be conscious and know the difference. And if you're traveling, obviously, you know.
Be super careful,
right.
Yeah. But right now, I don't think I'd let my dog go in. I mean, I would have a year ago. I think we talked about ponds, and I said, no problem. It's safe. And, you know, now I think that I would say, I don't think I'm going to let them swim there now.
Right. It's just easy enough to, you're going to have to find a different.
Yeah, a lake would be a fine idea, and the river.
Yeah, which moves.
Too.
Yep. Oh, boy. Says Ben in Kingston, our three huskies got out the other night and went rogue in a big way. They got into a neighbor's coop and killed a bunch of chickens. Looks like they ate a couple. Legal hassles and neighbor issues aside, I want to be sure we're also not in line for a big vet bill. Do you think we're in for a problem?
So the vet bill having to do with eating the chickens, I'm presuming?
No, the vet bill having to do with their stomachs probably because they ate
right.
a couple.
Yeah, right. Not the neighbor's vet bill.
No.
So it would be, I think it would be pretty unusual from fresh raw chicken or fresh raw chicken bones to cause a problem, but sometimes they'll get feathers. If you have three dogs who are going after an animal at the same time, they get pretty greedy and they get in a frenzy, and sometimes they'll eat large piece. They'll eat things that they wouldn't normally have, or swallow a huge chicken foot or something like that. So it may be it's all digestible. It's all digestible material. It may be that you have problems with them having eaten too much at one time. So you're going to watch for vomiting. If you're getting some repeated vomiting, one or two vomits that they're bringing up the chicken, you know, not a problem. But if it continues on, then definitely you need to see the veterinarian. But it may be that you don't have any problem at all. You know, these dogs go in and the chickens get so upset, and the chickens don't have a way out. And it's a very sad, scary situation. And what usually happens is the dogs will go ahead and kill them all, and they don't eat them. So typically they don't eat much because they're interested in the kill, especially when they're together. So it's so important to, to keep them.
Confined. It's important to keep everybody confined and safe. And that being said, you know, somebody always, again, historically, someone always leaves a gate open.
I know.
Or something. You got kids,
happen.
Door. I'm thinking of your donkey and the grain. You know,
It's true. Things happen all the time. And you're not thinking about what you're doing, and you forget to do a latch, or you've got a really tricky dog who knows how to get out of things and lets everybody loose. So, I mean, they can't help. The dogs really can't help their primitive instincts.
Right, and that's when. Yeah, so we're going to treat this question as a country question as opposed to, probably not.
So they probably won't have, if there's only a couple chickens gone and two dogs, or three dogs, then probably won't have a problem, but definitely watch.
Yeah.
Not worried about fresh chicken bones causing too much trouble.
Feathers,
maybe. The fat, maybe, pancreatitis by ingesting too much stuff at one time. So it's vomiting or constipation, that would be a problem.
Three dogs and two chickens. As you said, mine aren't usually they don't go for the ingestion. They just go for the. It's like, oh, really? Fine, I'll be. And these are pretty mild mannered dogs. Huskies, and any dog
will kill something if, especially in a pack situation.
Yeah, that is true.
My own dogs. I'm watching around the new kitten because he doesn't care about what anybody does. He rolls over upside down, and they get in a bit of a frenzy. And he's tiny, so I'm careful not to let them. If there's one dog, they seem to do fine. But with the two of them get going, I'm worried that somebody's going to snap him in half.
Right.
So until he gets bigger, it can be a problem. And I've got these are very mild mannered dogs in general.
Right, and it's just, and again, I think that this is something that people, as you watch more and more animals on TV or more and more cute videos, what you lose sight of is the actual interaction, what you're dealing with live. You just do.
Potential, yes.
Potential.
The potential. Same thing with babies. People just need to be careful with any kind of dog. With babies, because babies flail and cry and make noise and like prey,
And that's just, it just wants, once again, sorry to be a broken record, but it needs attention. There's no app for it. There's no pill for it. You have to just watch, be clever and know how to confine.
Right.
And I'm not trying to minimize, I'm just trying to say, perhaps what is being offered as generic advice isn't going far enough to say,
right.
You got to just...
Because they're not people, they live with us, and we tend to think of them as our children, and they are in many cases, but they're not humans. And so they have instincts that some of us have outgrown.
Again, such a diplomat.
Out-evolved.
I'm telling you. Next up, your different position on climate change. Thank you very much, Dr. Cannon.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com.